Got your Bibles this morning. Would you turn to the Gospel of 1 Peter, the Epistle of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. The last several weeks, the theme with the three men that have spoke, myself, Kim Mikesell, and John Hayes, last several weeks the theme has been readiness and the position that we find ourselves in. And this morning, if you're looking for revelation, I hope you get it, but a lot of it's just going to be repetitive things. That's okay. How many know the Word of God repeats itself again and again and again and again? You know why? Because we need it. How many know we forget very easy? Especially being this human body that we're in. It reacts physiologically to something, and we have to remind ourselves, we're a spirit inside a body, not a body holding a spirit. And this body dictates, our senses dictate so often things that we do knee-jerk. We just do because we're human. But God wants to transcend that. God wants us to be in control so that we can walk as children of the living God. Actually, fulfill His promises, be examples. Come on, someone. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Verse 14 says, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Many are here this morning burdened with life's responsibilities. Maybe that's you. We are, after all, asked to wear many hats. We're fathers, mothers, wives, husbands, employees, employers, friends, brothers, sisters, voters, citizens. But we are first and foremost children of God. And if we'll wear that, everything else will come into place. Matter of fact, Jesus was bold enough to make that promise. He said, "Set your things, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you." That's a pretty good deal. But so often we find ourselves trying to add all those other things, father, mother, sister, employee, taxpayer. Then we're a child of God. I mean, you know, we get it upside down. First, we're a child of God and we serve Him and takes care of all those things. It's miraculous what He does. It's miraculous how He's able to handle all of that. So this morning, I want to talk to you about six characteristics to encourage you this morning. And it's from Galatians. So if you turn to Galatians with me, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, go eat peaches and cream. Galatians chapter 4, we'll start first by saying the first characteristic is we are the redeemed. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, "I'm redeemed." Turn to somebody else and say, "You're redeemed." So right there, that sets us apart. We're redeemed. Redemption means a couple of things. God bought us, but He owns us. He bought us, that's the good side. He owns us, that's also the good side, but so often our flesh balks against His ownership. Come on, someone. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law," verse 5 says, "to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons," of course that means both sons and daughters, "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I want to encourage you this morning. This morning we are children of God. We're not beholding to sin or to any sinner. Come on, somebody. We are set apart. We're filled with God's Holy Spirit. He chose anywhere in the world to dwell, anywhere in the universe to dwell. He chose us to dwell in. We are His abode. We are children of the living God. We're redeemed. Think about it. We are sons and daughters of God Himself. He engrafted us into His family. Everybody's sitting there looking like you got baptized in pickle juice. He engrafted us into His family. That right there ought to make us joyful. It's the only thing that kept this woman alive. Her testimony this morning, beat till she couldn't get up off the floor, but she knew God was with her. What a testimony. Come on, somebody. We're redeemed. No worries. Sin taken care of. God delivered us, redeemed us. And He didn't redeem us with anything cheap. He didn't redeem us with anything temporary. He had redeemed us with His own blood. God redeemed us with His own blood. We are sons, not only sons and daughters, but we're heirs. That means everything God has is ours. Come on, somebody. Everything that God has is ours. We don't have any worries. Then why do we worry? We don't have any cares, but why do we care? We have to constantly remind ourselves who we are. Because when we look at each other, we look in the mirror in the morning, we're the same old person that we always have been. If we see with eyes of flesh, we have struggles. It's another work day. It's another day I've got to be the mother, father, daughter, employee, employer, citizen. Speak to yourself. Remind yourself what God has made you to be. All the rights and privileges, my friend, are yours. The price that was paid for you was the highest. There could be no one that would be able to pay back what the cost was for your soul. And because you're an heir, everything you need is at your disposal. You're not chasing it. Come on, someone. You're not hoping it will come. You're not asking God to borrow it. It's yours. Come on, say it's mine. Some of you are dealing with some pretty serious things this morning. It's yours. I've been praying a lot lately about the favor of God and no more delay. No more delay. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of waiting. I think there's a holy thing about that. I'm not complaining. I'm just tired. I want to come. I want the glory of God to be seen on our land. Amen. Despicable things are happening. There's a wrestling for the soul of a nation right now. You know, this big brouhaha that's happening, I don't even want to get into the whole thing. But if you think it's anything other than the lives of the unborn children, you're thinking wrong. This struggle that's happening right now in Washington is for the souls of unborn children. And they're pulling out the stops. Come on, somebody. Anybody with more than a fourth grade education sees the lies. And we're asked to believe that it's the truth. Come on. We're redeemed. We're redeemed from the curse. And I know I've said that many times since I've been here. I remind you time and time again. I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to keep encouraging you. And I will always remind you who you are. You're an heir. Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the 1828 edition, says, an heir is one who is entitled to possess. In Scripture, saints are called heirs of the promise, heirs of righteousness, heirs of salvation by virtue of the death of Christ or of God's gracious promises. We're heirs. Doesn't make us elite. It doesn't make us only a few receive that. If you're a Christian this morning, you're an heir. You say, well, I didn't know that. Is there some paper I need to read or something I need to sign or some class I need to take? No, just receive it by faith. How did you receive Christ? By faith. If you're saved this morning, you receive Christ by faith. Amen. Receive freedom by faith. You're redeemed by faith. Come on, someone. Yeah. Holy and righteous and altogether lovely in the sight of God. He welcomes you into His presence because you've been redeemed. Secondly, we've been reborn. Look down with me in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of bondswoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has had a husband. This whole thing is a story about Abraham and Sarah that couldn't wait for the promises of God, and so they helped him. How many have been tempted to help God with His promise? Look around the room. How many have been tempted to help God with His promise? He's promised you something, and so you help Him. How'd that work out for you? Love to interview Abraham. So how'd that work out for you, that little tryst with Hagar? Didn't go so well. In fact, it messed the whole world up. We're still fighting that fight. We're a new creation. We used to sing, I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away, I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation, I'm a brand new man. We've been reborn. We were under the law with its punishments and failures, but God redeemed us and rebirthed us. Now the neat thing, it's one thing to be redeemed, bought with a price, and be the old person bought with a price. But I'm not. I'm not the old person. You're not the old person. You have pre-Christ and after Christ. Come on, somebody. Every one of you died when you got reborn. The old man is dead. Just in way of remembrance. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but that's where you have to remind yourself. The old man is dead. I'm not that one anymore. I'm a new creation. I'm bought with a price. I'm reborn. Not just words. We have been given a new nature by which we walk in victory. I know some of you may be tired of hearing this, but I want to put you in remembrance this morning. For what's coming is we must be emboldened. We must be tasked with the responsibility to know who we are. I'm not the old person. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what the world tells me I am. I'm only what God made me through His rebirth. He rebirthed me. He made me a new creation. We were condemned to die, but now we're sons. We have a divine nature. I struggle when I hear people say, I'm dealing with the sin nature. No, you are not schizophrenic. There's not two of you in you. Listen to me. You don't hear anything else this morning. There's not two of you in you. You're not fighting the old man. If you had to fight the old man, Christ failed. Come on, somebody. Christ did not fail. Quiet in here. See, we go this physiological. We go with this mind thing. We go with the devil's good at talking us into saying something that's not real. It's not real. Only what God says is real. God said, I died with him and I was born again. I was risen from the dead with him to walk in newness of life. I'm no longer that person. My history began April 19th, 1981. It's where I began my life. Come on, somebody. That life before, it's gone because God got rid of it. He just didn't cover it. He got rid of it. Thirdly, we've been released. We've been released. Galatians chapter 5. Turn there. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has, I want you to underline, made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who has become circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Now, of course, no one is arguing about the circumcision factor, but I want you to look deeper into what this scripture is saying, because many of us are tempted to go back under the law. I haven't prayed enough. I haven't did enough. I don't give enough. I don't do this enough. And we're under condemnation, and I want to release that from you this morning. The world around us, even the Christian world around us, a lot of the popular songs, a lot of the popular talk, a lot of the popular teaching is that we can't ever hope to be free, but we can keep praying, break this chain, do this, do that. God, hold me. No, he's already broke the chain. He's already made you free. You're released in Jesus' name. Jesus isn't a circuit preacher coming back around doing it again. He did it. It's history. I've been released. Stand fast, Paul says, in the liberty. The nefarious people that followed Paul came into the church, crept in unawares to many, and said, well, that's okay, you might be born again, but what you need to be is you need to be circumcised, you need to obey the law, you need to do this, you need to do that. And Paul said, they tried to get me convinced, and I wouldn't even give myself to them for an hour. They dared stare into our liberty in Christ. You're liberated, man. You're free. Act free. Cast off every temptation to give in. Cast it off. Fight. Do warfare. Don't let it happen. Your choice is to remain free or offer yourself up again for bondage. That's on you. You say, well, I'm all bound up. Well, it's your fault. What's up, buddy? I don't want to condemn. I'm just saying, you made that decision because Christ made you free. And if you're in any bondage, it's on you. When I was back in the 90s, I went through some pretty rough times. And there at the end of the 90s, I was in the ministry, but I wasn't employed, so I was working. And I had been through some pretty tough times. How many know if you hang around Christians long enough, you go through tough times? And so I was really in a bad way, but I didn't show it to anybody. After all, I was the overcoming Christian, of course. So I began to just deal with it and eat my problems, literally. It was okay if God woke me up in the middle of the night because that meant chocolate cake. Yeah, God, we'll have a talk. Let me eat these two roast beef sandwiches while I'm sitting here. Man, my life was going good. I mean, I started in a sales company, real estate. First month I was salesman of the year. Or salesman of the month. And second month I was salesman of the month. Third month I was salesman of the month. That year I was salesman of the year. The next year I was salesman of the year. On a track with 40 other people. I couldn't do anything wrong. Come on, somebody. I'd sit down with somebody and go boo and they'd pay me. It's just God was blessing me. And I didn't mind buying clothes because I could afford clothes. So, you know, an inch here, an inch there. Cellulite there, cellulite here. Come on, somebody. Pretty soon I'm up three sizes. Anybody there? Then I got back in ministry. Because it was my habit to deal that way, it was all right when God woke me up because I had the roast beef and the chocolate cake and the ice cream. And it was no big deal because I can handle it. Talking to somebody this morning. So I didn't realize I'd been made free. I was dealing with my hurt, my rejection, my anger, with something that was legal. I was addicted, but I was addicted to legal. You can buy food. You don't need... Come on, somebody. Nobody asks you why you're buying your third chocolate cake of the week. I'm just being honest with you. Is that all right this morning? And so I finally reached a place where I've given the testimony before. I was in prayer. I was in a time of prayer and fasting. And the Lord said, do you want to come home when you want to or when I want you to? I said, excuse me? Took me a long time to answer that. Weeks. Took me weeks. Because I realized that unbeknownst to me, I was just going along like everything was okay. I was internalizing my sin. I was internalizing my problems. And it was my choice. And I woke up to the fact that I put myself in bondage. I willingly put myself in bondage. Come on, someone. High blood pressure. Sleep apnea. Come on. And I had to say, no, I'm not going to let it happen anymore. As soon as I made the commitment that I wasn't going to let it happen anymore, something began to happen. Heaven kicked in. Now, where was heaven the whole time? Where was heaven when I was gaining all that weight? Where was heaven when I couldn't sleep? Where was heaven when... Never left. God never left me or forsake me. He said, I made you free. That's the way you are. If this is the choice you're going to make, make your choices. Some of you are here this morning, you're dealing with anger. If you continue in your anger, you're going to lose people that you love. Some of you are dealing with other addictions. If you continue to do them, it's your life that you're talking about. We've been released. And here, I know I've said this so many times, but I just cringe when I hear somebody say it was... Jesus set us free. Jesus didn't set us free. He made me free. You say, well, that's just, you're messing with me. No, he made me free. That means I'm new from the ground up. He didn't set me free. If I can be set free, I can fall back into sin. He made me free. And when I identify with that nature, that's what gave me the victory. I identified with the nature that I've always been. Now, I have to fight food the rest of my life. That's just the way it is. I realize that's a daily battle. And I'm willing to do that because it almost took my life. Come on, someone. This thing that you're dealing with, whatever it is that you're dealing with, remind yourself daily that you were made free. Confess your new nature daily. Walk in the facts, not the presumptive lies of the enemy. Not only are we released, we are resolved. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Your choice to walk in the Spirit. Word of God couldn't say this to a sinner. A sinner cannot walk in the Spirit. Someone is playing games that never received Christ. Resolve means to decide firmly on a course of action. Firm determination to do something. Because you're free and determined, you're going to walk in victory. Come on, somebody. Walk in the Spirit. Your choices will make a path for you. If you choose not to walk in the Spirit, a path is laid out for you. If you choose to walk in the Spirit, a path is laid out for you. God goes before us all the time, but He leaves the choice to us. Make a conscious effort to walk in the Spirit. It's your choice. If you cannot, you're either bound up or in a state of unbelief. Either way, you're in trouble. You say, I'm a Christian, but I don't know about walking in the Spirit. I struggle with it. It's easy to walk in the Spirit a couple hours a week, but this 24/7, 168 hours, man, that's a lot. I don't know if I can do that. Yes, you can. Turn to somebody and say, you can. You can't walk in the Spirit. Why? Because you're Spirit. We're not a flesh with a Spirit. We're a Spirit that has flesh. Come on, somebody. We're not fighting with that old man now. Doesn't say anything about the old nature there. It says the flesh. This stuff right here, our senses, touch and taste and sight and feeling, you know, it stinks. Get us in trouble. Come on, somebody. You're looking out of these old holes to me. Your spirit man's in there. That's the one God's after. That's the one God recognizes. This flesh just helps us get around. Resolve in your heart to walk free. To walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, the Scripture says, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we're tempted, we re-engage our resolve and reactivate our faith. And you will be tempted all the time. No temptation has come upon you, but it's common to man. You will be tempted. One-time acts are not what being a disciple is about. Just because you went forward at summer camp 10 years ago and got filled with the Holy Ghost does not mean it gives you victory today. What have you done today to fight the fight? What have you done today to walk in the Spirit? And if you don't think that's a job, you're not doing it. Come on, somebody. Reminding ourselves, and when we begin to walk in the Spirit, it just flows. It just flows so easy. We enter a struggle with victory in mind, but we have no choice on that struggle. Set it in your mind that you will fight and you will win. Not only are we free and resolved to remain so, we are the restored. We're restored. Turn to Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So many times I get into conversations with people, especially someone told me the other day that they took some kind of a poll, and Christians that say they're committed Christians go to church 2 out of 8 weeks. Say you're committed to a local church. How in the world can you build any kind of relationship 2 out of 8 weeks? So many times people get in a conversation with me and they say, well, it's not necessary that I go to church. I say, I feel so sorry for you. Because going to church doesn't make us a Christian, but it keeps us honest. It keeps us holy. We build relationships with one another so that we can walk in this world. That's exactly right. We need one another. This life is fraught with the unexpected, and horizontal relationships are a must. The local church has suffered. Where are those that would support it? We have been forced to be independent. Make a conscious effort to end that practice. If you've been in a church where you were hurt, then get over it. That's what I tell people all the time. If you were hurt in the church, big deal. Let me ask you a question. Were you ever hurt at work? Why are you still working? Were you ever insulted in a grocery store? Why do you still go to a grocery store? Why isn't the church a place where you're insulted? You don't want to go back to church. The enemy said, man, that works, and that's what I'll use every time. Every time you talk to somebody, why didn't you go to church? Well, I was hurt. Well, big deal. Where is it coming? Are you still hurt? Wait. Come on, somebody. We need one another. Judgment has no place in covenant relationships. If somebody falls, we need to pray with them. We need to pray with you. If you've had a tough time, if you've been snared or caught by the devil, ask somebody for prayer. It's going to be okay. We've all experienced that one time or another. Come on, somebody. And we want to make sure you stay free. And if anybody condemns you or rides you, you come see me. We'll take care of that right quick. Are you listening to me? Anybody comes that's in this church that condemns you, you come talk to me. We'll have a talk with whoever it is. Want somebody. Word of God says to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness. When I went through what I just described a few moments ago, I had people that surround me and love me. When I confessed my sin, they said, we'll pray for you. We'll help you. I had a church that loved me. We took care of one another. And I had some time. I wish it wasn't easy. But I won. I had lots of prayer. I had lots of people on the phone in the middle of the night. Please pray. There ain't no chocolate cake in the house, but the store is only 2 blocks away. Come on, somebody. Is that real? Look, if you're struggling with something, man, the place you need to be is church. The place you need to be is brothers and sisters. The place you need to be is where somebody will understand. You're not going to find it in the world. You can only hide in the world. Turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 1. I'll keep you for a few more moments. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Hebrews, chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, verse 2 says, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I want you to underline purged our sins. Purged means get rid of. Extract. Resolve in your heart this morning that you're restored. If you've confessed your sin, He has been faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. Don't you talk about that anymore. Allow God to give you resolute ideas not to go back to that sin, but don't go back and wallow in that sin. Don't go back and let the enemy, because that's what causes addictions. That's what causes bad habits. We keep going back saying we can't get free. I was an expert at it. You know, I only eat a little sliver of cake. Yeah, I got this thing licked, man. I used to eat a whole big hunk. I'll just eat a sliver. But I was eating a sliver five or six times. Come on, somebody. Maybe God's fooling you, maybe Satan's fooling you and talking to your heart. Oh, you can get away with this. You can just do it. Nobody knows. It's bad for your body, but it's not bad for your body because you've got special grace. You can be angry and blow up and make everybody else around you miserable. It's okay. God understands. He got angry. He made the cord and whipped people. And come on, somebody. Talking to somebody this morning. Give it up. Give it up this morning. Give it up this morning. Allow yourself to be restored. And the neat thing about it is that God doesn't punish us for our sins. He already took the punishment. He already took the punishment. Come on, somebody. Don't you let the devil lie to you and say you're beyond help. Everybody go like this. Breathe in. Breathe out. Thank God everybody's alive in here. As long as you're alive, God will take care of you. Lastly, get refired. Get refired. Galatians 6:9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Doing good is not an option. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Do good. How can I do good? At your nature. The first thing that comes to the top of your spirit is to do the right thing. Something else follows, and sometimes we follow the second or third. Again, that's our choice. Do good. It's not an option, but it's a lifestyle. Practice righteousness. Discipline your life. This Christian life is not for wimps. Ask God to refire your heart. Fall in love with Him again. First love and all of that. And love one another because we're going to make it together. See, I can't make it without you. You can't make it without me. Come on, somebody. I always said, be careful of the people you don't like. They'll probably be right beside you in heaven. Come on, somebody. Love one another. Scripture tells us, encourages us, demands us. Matter of fact, over there in 1 John it says, if we don't love one another, we don't love the Father. If we don't love one another, love of God is not in us. That's why a lot of people don't go to church, because they find it hard to love people. It's a heart issue. Long time ago, I resigned from being the Holy Ghost. I can't make you do anything that you don't want to do. I used to get so discouraged and not like to be around people. Said I could be a really good Christian if I didn't have to deal with people. Just the Bible and God. I'd be all right. Anybody ever say that? Come on, be honest. Love one another with an enduring love. The world doesn't know anything about that. They've got this skewered idea of love. It's love to what you can get. It's not love at all. It's lust. We love you as long as we get what we want from you. When we don't get what we want from you, we don't love you anymore. Precious, 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 precious promises of the Word tells us who we are. This morning has just been a reminder of that. But as we pray, as we close in prayer, I want you to believe with me that those who are bound, this may be the day that you walk away from that bondage. I believe it is. I believe this is a holy time this morning. You say, well, I've got it under control. No, you don't. You'll never control sin. Sin always controls you. You'll never control sin. Sin will always control you. The only thing that will get rid of sin is Christ. Not you. He didn't build you to deal with sin. He didn't build you to exist with sin. When sin is there, if it's a habit, if it's a problem, if it's something in your heart, you bind it and tell it to go in Jesus' name. Watch God make you free. Father, this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, please. It's a holy time. If you're here this morning, you say, Rick, I've been struggling so long. And I don't want to struggle anymore. I want to be free. I want that freedom that you're talking about. I've not experienced that. Been a long time since I felt free at all. And I'm struggling with this thing, maybe several things that you're dealing with this morning. I believe that as we pray, there'll be a release. Now, there's going to be some follow-up. There's going to be some follow-up. Get people to hold you accountable. Get people to help you. But pray this prayer with me. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand and say, I want to be free this morning. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anyone else? I'm agreeing with you in prayer this morning. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that it was for freedom that you made me free. I thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross, Jesus, to make me a new creation. And as a new creation, I say to this thing, you must go. I am no longer beholden to you. I'm no longer a slave of sin. I'm free. God, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me with your blood. Now I turn and say to this habit, this problem, in Jesus' name, you must go. You have no authority over me. I have authority over you. And I tell you to go. Take your weapons and leave me. Now, Father, all the people that prayed this morning and those that are praying that didn't raise their hand, God, strengthen us. Strengthen our resolve. Lord, that we might be the person you called us to be and made us to be. Father, thank you. Thank you for New Life Church. Thank you for brothers and sisters that help us along the way. Pray blessing on each and every one. According to your loving kindness and mercy, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.